Gospel according to St. Matthew. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing, and he came into his hometown. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Rise and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home." He rose and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today the Church in the United States celebrates the feast of two different saints, 300 years apart, who are both known for their charity. St. Elizabeth of Portugal is one for whom, like Our Lady, to reign was to serve. She was one who constantly gave of what the royal household had in order to care for the poor. But it wasn't enough just to give alms. She sought to become alms. And she herself would go out dressed in the clothing of her maids in order to care for the poor with her own hands, to bathe their wounds, to feed their hungers. One time in the midst of doing this, somebody said that was the queen because she had the face of the queen. And a big fight basically ensued and somebody's reputation was on the line. And so that was the time where she revealed that she was the queen, but nobody believed her because she was dressed as a peasant. And so she said, "Be here in an hour." She went up the hill to the castle, came back down with her crown and with her finest vestments. And everybody knew that this woman who had been serving them with love for such a while was actually the queen. And so they were in awe, as sometimes people crazily are today. I mean, the one thing that I always fight at the UN is, for example, when others on the path to peace want to honor somebody simply because they're royalty. No insult intended to the Spanish crown here, Sister Christina, but I mean, it's just like we're all made with incredible dignity. And that's one of the things I think for an American we're most proud of, that everybody has equal dignity. The dignity of birth is nothing compared to the dignity of rebirth. And St. Elizabeth, to make that point, she said, "Listen, before this crown was put onto my head, I was anointed with oil, as kings and queens always are, on literally the crown of the head." She said, "The anointing that you have received, especially in the sacrament of confirmation, is so much greater." So she said, "To show that, please come forward and I will place this crown on you, just as an outward sign of something that has already occurred, that you are all members of the royal family." Today, to this day, in Portuguese communities, throughout the Easter season, as we prepare for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, every Sunday, there are these crownings with a beautiful silver crown, reminiscent of what Saint Elizabeth did, on little children, some of the times on older people, just so that they're able to recall their incredible dignity. When St. Elizabeth was serving them in charity, she was serving them precisely because of that dignity, that even though they thought that they were on the outskirts of society, she recognized in them not just an incredible human spiritual genealogy, but Christ himself in their disguise. St. Anthony Maria Zacharia, whom we celebrate today, likewise was one who cared for others. His dad died when he was 2. He's from a noble family in Cremona, in Italy. And his mom, to train him in charity, made him, as a young infant, the family's almoner, the one to give out the alms to everyone who would come to their house to beg. And it formed him in a real heart. He noticed at this time in the early 1500s, in that area close to Milan, the people were dying. It was the very beginning of the plague that St. Charles Borromeo would become so distinguished in trying to help. So he saw that one way to grow in charity and to exercise it would be to be a doctor. So he went to school. He was a very precociously bright kid. He got his medical degree at 22 and immediately started practicing. But as he was practicing for 5 years, he grasped that there was another illness that not all the medicines and medical wisdom in the world could cure, which is the illness of the soul. So he went to seminary and was prepared for the priesthood. After 2 years, he was able to be ordained. Then for the last 10 years of his life, he died at the tender age of 36. He sought to serve those needs of the soul. He founded 3 congregations in those 9 years, including the most famous, the Clerics Regular of St. Paul, which are called the Barnabites, after St. Barnabas, as the continued collaboratives of St. Paul in bringing not only the message but the reality of Christ's charity to others. They had everybody ponder the meaning of the Eucharist and then this call to charity. And they sought to show by the way that they lived how God acts in both. Today in the Gospel, we see those lessons on full display. The incredible charity of the friends of the paralyzed man to do whatever it took to bring their paralyzed pal to Jesus when they couldn't get in through the front door because there were too many people listening. They took off the thatch roof and dropped him in. As we've talked about before, to get a paralyzed man up to a roof required great balance and skills so that the stretcher wouldn't lean over and he wouldn't fall with no capacity to defend himself. Likewise, to lower him down once the roof was opened was itself dangerous, but they were willing to take whatever risk was necessary in order to bring their friend into contact with Jesus. It was clear why they were bringing their friend to Jesus. They knew he had the power to do anything. They had heard what he had done. They had seen people walking who used to be paralyzed, men stretch out their hand to embrace them whose hands had previously been withered. So they had great confidence, and they were hoping that their friend would be able to walk again. But as soon as they lowered him down, Jesus did something more important. He healed his sins. 5 years ago, the first time he preached on this as Holy Father, Pope Francis emphasized this point. He had been carrying within, obviously by this point, a desire for a jubilee of mercy. It would be 2 years before that would happen. But he stressed, based on the Alleluia verse, that everything Jesus ever did, healing, preaching, exercising, was all a sign of something greater he was doing, which was to reconcile us to the Father. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, as we say in the Alleluia verse. He healed the man's sins first because that was his priority. And to show that he had the authority to do so when people were doubting that he was God doing this, he healed his paralysis. The incredible charity of the friends was matched by an even greater charity on Jesus' part. They had come in the hope that their friend would be able to walk away with a stretcher. Little did they know that he would walk away with a soul purified. This work of reconciliation is something that the Church continuously does. It's not the only form of charity. but it is the most exalted form of charity. We exist as members of Christ's body to carry out that work of reconciliation. The first reading, the prophet Amos was trying to bring his contemporaries in Israel to the Lord's mercy, but they were resisting, and the resistance was starting with jealous clergy. Amaziah, the priest of the royal sanctuary of Bethel, sent word to Jeroboam II, king of Israel, that Amos was conspiring against him by saying that the country needed to convert. Amaziah was a sycophant. He was constantly telling the king everything is fine and that God's going to continue to bless and that you don't have anything to worry about, no need to convert. How wrong Amaziah was, and how much the kingdom needed to convert from king down to citizens. That's why Amos was sent out of the charity of the Lord. But Amaziah, backed by Jeroboam, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary. Flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying." Amaziah made a very comfortable living off his work. Amos never earned a penny, but you could see how corrupted were the thoughts of the priest of the royal sanctuary. Amos reminded Amaziah that he was no prophet, nor did he belong to a company of prophets. He was chosen directly by the Lord, because those who had received the mission weren't doing their job. It was the Lord who said, "Go prophesy to my people Israel." And he was going to announce the word of the Lord, that there was going to be great suffering for that kingdom if they didn't convert. And they didn't. And the Assyrians soon came. This is part of the good news. This is part of the word of the Lord. We're sent out to proclaim a message of reconciliation, that our own age needs to convert, that every single person that we ever meet needs to convert. But the greatest way that we're going to be able to preach that message is showing the fruits of conversion, showing what a reconciled life is, showing someone who has been healed by the one who heals every interior paralysis. As Pope Francis said 5 years ago, we are always living in a kairos of mercy, a propitious time where we desperately need to turn away from sin, turn toward the Lord, and with His forgiveness begin to turn literally with the Lord all the days. And this is what inspires charity of every other form. Today, as we remember Saint Anthony Maria Zachariah and Saint Elizabeth of Portugal, and how much they prioritized charity, may we receive a double portion of their spirit. Having received the Lord's charity in its fullest form within, may we spend our lives, however short they be, like their two short lives did, in singing of the Lord's mercy and letting it flow from our hands.